This week is the Parshas Kedoshim, and there is a lot of relevance in the theme of Kedoshim and today's event of Yom HaAtzmaut. If we think about the Tzivui to be Kodesh and about the particular content of the Parsha, so there is a plethora of mitzvos in the Parsha. The Parsha has a lot of the mitzvos ben Adam l'chaveiro. We often talk about Parshas Mishpatim as being the Bin Adam L'Chaveiro Parsha, but the truth is a good portion of the principles of Bin Adam L'Chaveiro are found in this week's Parsha, including the big principle of if you have to l'recha kamocha, is found in this week's Parsha, together with many other ideas that affect how we relate to others, and together with Inyanim of Bin Adam L'Mokum as well. And in fact, as the Rishonim point out, there is a strong parallel between the Aseres HaDibros and the content of Parshas Kedoshim. And there's a lot to say about that. The Aseres HaDibros themselves, we know, are understood by some of the Rishonim, such as the Ramban, to be kind of an outline for Kol Torah Kula, that you can derive all of the mitzvos, if you really know how to do that, if you know how to look carefully at the principles that the Aseres HaDibros contain, you can, with a lot of skill, figure out all of the Taryag mitzvos. And the parallels in Parshas Kedoshim are essentially echoing these themes, but also taking them further. So, just to give one example, in Aseres HaDibros we're told that Kabeid Asavicha V'Asimecha, and in Parshas Kedoshim we find Ish Aviv V'Imo Tiro. We find basically the same ideas, but often in a more expanded form. There's an article about this in Mitoch Ohel on the Parsha, where Rabbi Ganach Shlita talks about a notion that Rav Soloveitchik had, where he emphasized that the idea of Kedusha is something that we specifically find within the context of a tzibur, and that we don't believe that in order to be holy you have to be isolated and you have to be separated from everyone else. But adarabba, it's in the context of a communal entity that our Kedusha really is able to flourish. And therefore, when we look at the parallels here, basically what the parasha is saying, that as individuals, so we have mitzvos, but when we come together as a tzibur, as a klal, so then we're capable of even greater accomplishments. We're capable of taking these ideas and bringing them to a higher level, and that's what the tzivoy of Kedoshim Tiyu represents. Were you had a question about that?
Does that mean that the inyanim of like precious or setting yourself apart are useful for on an individual level?
Well, possibly, but the question also is what we mean by precious. Precious doesn't necessarily mean from others. Precious could mean also from excess, you know, or from tadugas, alam hazad, and things like that. It's a different kind of precious. But essentially here he's saying the idea that a person should be a hermit, the person should be separated from society, and that's where he'll be holy. That's not our belief. Our belief is that the holiness is found within the tzibur. And this is a theme that is very relevant to Yom HaAtzmaut, because when we talk about the land being Kodesh, when we talk about the land being holy, so we mean that our mission in this world is not able to really be fulfilled on an individual level. It requires a klal, it requires a tzibur, and a homeland is the ultimate expression of what the tzibur can contribute, not just an aggregate of people, but people coming together to create a society in a designated location that is imbued with the sanctity that comes with being set aside for that purpose. And we have to have tremendous akara and hodah for the fact that the formalizing of our presence in Eretz Yisrael that comes with the founding of the Medina, and that comes with everything that's happened since then, how it's been built up in such a tremendous way, has given an unbelievable framework for Talmud Torah, for sure, and for Shmiras HaMitzvos, but also for creating a society where all of the values of the Torah are able to find expression and are able to address circumstances and manifest themselves in ways that can't be done anywhere else in the world. And that's the vision of Eretz Yisrael. And the ability to create a government, to create a framework in which these activities are cultivated, are supported, and are able to come forward in a formal and organized way is one of the tremendous gifts that the Hakamas HaMedina was able to provide. And that's something that we recognize as a fulfillment of our mission in ways that were not possible otherwise. And the theme of Kedusha as well, probably commented in the past that the great Y.U. Rosh Hashiva Rav Shimon Shkop, in his introduction to the Sefer Shaar Yosher, so he notes that the concept of Kedusha requires some explanation, and the Chazal tell us about the opening pasuk in the Parsha of Kedosh Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani, you shall be holy, Ki Kadosh Ani, for God is holy. And the Medrash comments, Yochel Kamoni, you might have thought that you could be as holy as God. Talmud Lomar Ki Kadosh Ani, we see that no, not that much. Kedushasi L'Ma'ala MeKedushaschem, that my holiness is greater than your holiness. And that's a pretty powerful statement on a lot of levels. Chaim Shmulevitz also has a sicha about this, where he notes that, you see, it's a drasha from a pasuk, that you can't be as holy as God. Like, you need a chiddush. You need the pasuk to teach you that you can't be as holy as God. It shows you that the Havamina apparently was that you can be as holy as God, and it's only because there's a miut that you can't reach that level, but you can be pretty holy. So what does that mean? What does that mean to be so holy? So Rav Shimon explains that holiness is to be devoted to others. And the greater commitment you can have to helping out others, the more Kodesh you are. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no human needs, so therefore he's Kulo Kodesh. So we are not able to be that holy because we are human beings, and therefore we have our own needs. So we have limitations on how holy we can be, but we can strive to be pretty holy. We can get close. We can really create a tremendous focus on how we can contribute to others, and that's where Kedusha comes in. And, hi? So that part's where Rav Shimon Shkop, I just meant that Rav Chaim had a sicha where he also talks about the impact of Havamina. But this part is Rav Shimon Shkop. So he notes in that sense also the interpretation of the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, the statement of Hillel, where we say, "Mena nili mili, uchashani latzmi mani." And you read that, and it sounds like this represents the tension that we have between two poles. That on the one hand, we have to worry about ourselves because no one else will take care of us if we don't. "Mena nili mili," but Kishanilas me, if I am only for myself, then mani, what am I? So I have to bounce back and forth between these two things. I got to worry about myself, but I want to worry only about myself, so I got to constantly juggle. So the way Rav Shimon explained it, it's not two ideas that are conflicting. It's one idea that flows. That, yes, it's true that as human beings, we're not God, His Kedusha is infinite, and ours cannot be, but we are not able to be totally devoted to others because we are human beings. We have to worry about ourselves first, and that is right and proper. But what can we do with that? What we can do is we are in control of, or at least we can aspire to, a greater definition of what ourselves means. What do we mean when we say, I have to worry about myself? So does myself mean me as an individual? Does it mean me and my family? Does it mean me and my community? Does it mean me and the entire Jewish people? Does it mean me and the world? You have the ability to define the concept of ani in a broader way. And he says that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that yes, imen anili mili, if I'm not going to be for myself, no one else will be. But kishani la'atzmi, that if I am only for myself, what does that mean? It means I define the ani in a very limited way. I define that as me, the individual. Ani la'atzmi. So then, okay, what is ani? Then the ani is not so impressive. But if I choose to define the ani in one of these broader ways, so then that's something already. So yes, it's normal and human to start with the ani, but we have the capacity to try to aspire to an ani that is as inclusive as possible. So when you think also about the accomplishments of the state of Israel in a short 7+ decades, so it's pretty amazing that here not only have they made the desert bloom, and not only have they done tremendously for themselves, but for on behalf of the world. You see what's accomplished, you see what's done, just in terms of science, in terms of technology. It's often pointed out how hard it is for the BDS advocates to really be consistent, because if they're really going to try to avoid all Israeli technology and all Israeli products, their lives are going to be pretty poor. Their lives are going to be pretty impoverished. There's so much that certainly on a Torah level, the Kimitzion Teitzei Torah and is supporting the whole world, but in so many other ways that increase the dignity of mankind, as Rav Soloveitchik would discuss, in terms of how people are able to function, how the world can function. It was news before Pesach that the scientists in Israel are finally on the way to being able to make a 3D printed heart. We won't need heart donors anymore. That's unbelievable kind of thing, and that's only the tip of the iceberg. And we know that even the very hard fought lessons and the very, very difficult experiences that the Israeli army has had to have in terms of dealing with mass casualty events, and how they've, Rahmana Litzlan, and how they've taken those lessons and benefited the whole world, and how whenever there is Chalila, some kind of an event anywhere in the world, the IDF is sending teams, the Israel is sending teams all over to make a difference. The whole world is brought under the umbrella of what Klal Yisrael is accomplishing through the Medina, and it's a fantastic thing. So that idea of Kedusha being perceived that way and being understood that way is a very, very impactful reality for the world. And so it shouldn't just be us saying Hallel today. The whole world should be saying Hallel today. They should be recognizing just what they are benefiting. But, of course, we know that the question of the whole world saying Hallel, unfortunately, it's very far from the case. That we find that it's certainly not the reality that the world is appreciating what this gift means. And unfortunately, the lack of appreciation and the scorn and the disdain that has been directed towards the state of Israel and the Jewish people all over the world has reached very, very scary levels. And that itself teaches us something about how these parts come together to a certain extent. And perhaps that brings us to the Haftorah. Now, the Haftorah for Parshas Kedoshim itself is very scary. It's a very intimidating message. It's all negative. It's from Sefer Yechezkel, from Perach of Beis of Sefer Yechezkel, and the content is all very critical about the sins and the mistakes of the Jewish people, and there's a whole list there, and the list, it's hard to miss. Rishon will point this out, but you'll notice on your own, the list has a lot of parallel to the mitzvos that we find in the parsha. There's reference to rechilus, there's reference to mistreating one's parents. There's a lot of direct parallels to the content of Parshas Kedoshim, which, as we mentioned before, itself is an extension of the content of the Aseres HaDibros. So we have Tzivui and the Aseres HaDibros, and it's expanded upon in Parshas Kedoshim. And the Haftorah talks about the Jewish people when they are doing the opposite, when they are failing on all of these levels. And it's a little bit of a difficult choice for Haftorah, for Parshas Kedoshim. And in fact, there's a whole history in the halacha of how we avoid this Haftorah to a certain extent. that when Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim are together, this year they're not, but when they are together, so normally you read the Haftorah for the second Parsha when there's a double Parsha. But when the two Parshias are together for Achrimos and Kedoshim, we read the Haftorah for Achrimos. It's an exception. And we spoke about that a little bit last week, about how that Haftorah from Sefer Amos is itself somewhat of a ambiguous message, but ultimately it points to the continued redemption of Klal Yisrael, and that's a message we don't want to lose. And we mentioned last week the quote from Soloveitchik, that that's why we kind of make sure to get it in. And this year we don't get it in because Achrimos last week was Machir Chodesh, so that, as we discussed then, that took over the Haftorah. So there are some who say that then we should read last week's Haftorah now, that we should always prioritize that, and that we shouldn't read this very negative Haftorah from Parshas, from Sefer Yechezkel. And Rabbi Rosenzweig Shlita has a very informative and illuminating article about this in the Mitoch Ohel. But part of what seems to emerge here is, and some of these points are in Rosenzweig's article, some of it's a little different, but the point is that we see that these extra milas that the tzibur of Klal Yisrael represents, it's not that they are just hidurim. It's not that, okay, you know, if you really want to get extra points, so then you should try to do these things as well. But rather, what they are fundamental realizations of these values as practiced on a tzibur level. And the opposite, when they're missing, it's not simply, okay, so we just don't have the extras, we don't have the icing on the cake. It means that the tzibur is fundamentally flawed and subject to some very harsh language that you'll find in the Haftorah. And we see this on a global scale, that the Jewish people through the state of Israel are trying to set a tone and trying to set a model, and large portions of the rest of the world are so far from that and are seeing things in reverse and are living things in reverse, and it creates a very scary climate. And it reminds us all the more so just how important the model of Eretz Yisrael is, and the model that the Medinas Yisrael in the modern era is able to bring about, and how badly the world needs to hear that message, and how far it can stray, and how much that can get lost. And it's, in a sense, a chizuk, even coming from a negative place, that we have to try to reinforce our commitment to these ideas and keep plugging away and hope that the world eventually catches on and that recognizes what this message is. And despite the fact that you look at how the world is turned upside down when they comment on what happens, you know, they attack the IDF and they talk about Israel's response to being attacked and being terrorized, and the world sees things completely upside down, so we can't change that directly, but we can only hope that ultimately the very careful and noble model that the Jewish people are attempting to display and to teach will ultimately shine through and will be recognized and will be appreciated for that. And a big part also of the message, to go back to the original pasuk of Kedoshim Tiyu, we know that there's also the Ramban that comments over there, and this also connects to the theme of the parsha, that when it comes to Kedoshim Tiyu as a mitzvah, so the Ramban explains, why do we need an extra mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu? Why do we need the Torah to tell us to be holy if the whole Torah is already telling us to be holy and giving us details about what that means? So why do we need an extra pasuk telling us, oh, by the way, we should also be holy? And the Ramban explains that it's not enough to follow the details and to follow the laws, but there's a picture that's being painted, and that we are obligated to see what that picture means. We're obligated try to figure out how that impacts us, and to appreciate that there's a broader demand within the context of the Torah's mitzvos, the Torah's details, and that if one were to just follow the details but not see the bigger picture and not understand what the message is, so then they would be flawed in a very fundamental way. And therefore the Torah makes sure to remind us that there's no such thing as a naval b'rishus ha-Torah, that a person cannot be a scoundrel and still be permitted by the Torah, still be endorsed and authorized by the Torah, because we have kedoshim tiyu, we have this mitzvah that we are obligated to see the message from Simcha Zisl Broi, the Chevron HaShashiv, and a Sefer. So he notes that the whole study of Tameh HaMitzvos, which we know is a part of Talmud Torah on some level, but it's not clear always what exactly it's meant to accomplish, and or what how it affects our lives. And he points out that it has a halachic nafkamina, that our understanding of Tameh HaMitzvos is important because we're obligated to try to figure out what the spirit of the halacha is. We're obligated to try to figure out what the mitzvos are telling us in the broader sense, so that we can make sure that we're fulfilling not only the details, but also that broader message. So a part of the theme, and Rovenzweig discusses this also in his article, is that, I believe he says along these lines, that you see that the failure to do that becomes a failure on a fundamental level, and that's a part of the criticism of the Jews at the time of Yechezkel. You see that they deserve such harsh language because they are lacking even in these details of Parshas Kedoshim, which one could have thought was a next level kind of detail, but it goes to your understanding of what exactly the Torah's mission is. So our ability to not only talk about halachic concepts, but also to live them, and also to try to create a society based on them. So that is the ikar goal of what the Torah is asking of us. And once again, so the ability to have a homeland and to have that homeland function in a very formal and advanced way, and to do such spectacular things along with the process, so that is very much a fulfillment of what we're being told in Kedoshim to you. And that's again something to both celebrate today and to be mechazik ourselves, mechazik as a entity, as a group, to look for continued encouragement and how that can be taken further. Chad?
The idea of a Nava Brishas HaTorah, and that the Ramban speaks of that, so doesn't it become not Brishas HaTorah anymore, though?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's saying that the message of Kedoshim Tiyu is that you can't really be a Nava Brishas HaTorah. Saying that had we not had such a concept, had we not had such a pasuk, or Ramban makes a similar comment, very similar concept, comment on the pasuk of Sisa Yashuv HaTov, that you would have thought that it's possible to be sophisticated enough to figure out how you could be a naval and still be Brishos HaTorah. You'd still be within the bounds of the Torah. But that's why we're told no, that if that's what you think you're doing, then that doesn't work. That means you are lacking in the Kedusha, lacking in the Yashuv HaTov. And if you need a specific pasuk, now we have a pasuk telling us that that's not enough. Hi.
So are there like practical, like halachic impacts of that? Like, is it
for sure?
Is that
you have to figure out what it means practically speaking. But at least at a minimum, it means that one is mechuyev. But we talk about in the context of Asisa Yashuv HaTov that we see there's an obligation of going lefnim mishur sadin. And that these are parallel concepts. Lifnim Mishur Sadin is for the most part focused there in Vesisa Yashuv HaTov on the Ben Adam L'Chavero. Here in the context, it sounds like we're talking about more Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Atzmo, but one way or another, it's one concept that we're obligated to figure out what we think. Now, clearly, we're theorizing in some of the cases, we're speculating in some of the cases, but we do the best we can to try to figure out what a mitzvah is telling us overall, both the details and the message, and then to make sure that we're living up to that. So that's how we could understand. For example, we talk about lifnim mishur sadin, and the question is, if you're going to go lifnim mishur sadin, so how do you know what to do? How do you know what that means? And apparently, and this comes up in other places as well, that we have an obligation to do the best we can to try to figure out what the spirit of the law is, what the tamei hamitzvos are, and that if we can do that, so then we have to live up to that. We have to try to make sure that that's what's actually happening. So a part of how that happens is through not just talking about it, but living it. Because when you live it, so then you have to actually make sure that it all comes together. And that's a part of the opportunity that Eretz Yisrael provides. I saw a nice vort in the Sefer Ksava Kabbalah that to use the model of Lefnim Mishur Sadin. So there's another pasuk that has also is invoked by the Gemara actually in Bava Kamma. We won't get that far, but the Gemara in Bava Kamma later on quotes that pasuk as a source also for Lefnim Mishur Sadin, that when Yisro gives Moshe Rabbeinu advice, so part of his advice is he tells Moshe that he should teach the Jews the big ideas. So the Gemara says, Hamasa, that refers to Din, and Asher Yasun, that refers to Lifnim Mishur Sadin. So it's an interesting question, how does one mean one thing and one mean the other thing? So I used to think that what Chazal were saying there is that the Maisa, so that is the theory, and Asher Yasun, that's what actually happens. What actually happens sometimes has to be Lifnim Mishur Sadin. But look around in the Mefarshim and Chumash that are sensitive to the Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebalpeh relationship. You see, if you look in the Netziv, you look in the Torah Tamima, they have different ways of explaining it, kind of opposite ways of explaining it. But the Sefer Ksava Kabbalah, it says that when you add a nun to a verb, it changes that verb from an action to something that is completely descriptive of the person. So in that instance, so let's say, for example, if somebody learns, so you could call him a lomade. But if he learns so much that this defines him, that this changes who he is, so then we'd call that person a lamdan. So too here, he says the nun means that it's not just that you follow the din, it means that you are the din, that you embody the din. And the only way you can actually embody the din is if you recognize that it's going to sometimes ask you to do more than we have spelled out, and that's lifnim mishur sadin. And you recognize that because you're so connected to the value system that you feel you have to go that extra step. So all of these concepts really find their realization in actually living. When we talk about kedoshim and kiddush Hashem, as opposed to chilul Hashem, so Chilul Hashem is the opposite, and it's a theme in next week's Parsha, Parshas Emor. But the literal translation of a chalal is a dead body, or a chalal is an empty space. A chalal means something that has been drained of life. And a Kiddush Hashem means to show that the Torah is alive. It means to show that it's not simply a text that we read, but that it makes a difference to how we function. And I think if you look at all the different, and there are many different applications of the theme of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, it's the Tzad HaShaveh between all of them. That is the Torah just a text that we just read and then put back on the shelf? Or are we actually following the din, or are we actually even Moser Nefesh, the ultimate Kiddush Hashem, because we are living it in the most absolute sense? Are we allowing it to affect our personality? So when we say, for example, religious people, and they misbehave, we call that a chilul Hashem, because it means that the Torah is being practiced on some level, but it's not seeping in, it's not creating a holy personality. So the key theme of what it means to be kedoshim means that our value system should actually be alive, should actually be practiced, shouldn't just be an interesting book to read and to put back on the shelf. So once again, the Hakamas and Medina has given us the opportunity to really allow that value system to come alive in the fullest sense, and that's what Kedusha means. That's what we say, Kedoshim Tiyu, that's what we're talking about. And that's something which we can find that tremendously inspiring. And again, I think that's something for which we have to have a lot of Hakara Satov and Todah as we take note of today. Okay, so I guess we'll have to chazer on Sunday, God willing. But I wish you all a continued inspiring Yom HaAtzmaut into the weekend and a very holy Shabbos Parshas Kedosha. And God willing, we will pick up then. All right, Yashikoach.